During the announcement, let me just mention it real quickly. We're going to have to put the clamps down on eating and drinking here in the auditorium. So here's the thing. There have been several spills and mess, and we're technically not supposed to do that. You can have some water with you, something like that, but coffee, food, things like that, it has to be out in the lobby area, okay? And let's do that out of respect for the high school here and also for everyone that ends up cleaning it up. Somehow, when these things get spilled, the person spilled them doesn't clean it up. So our ushers are the ones. But poor Richmond does not want us to be eating and drinking in here. Okay? Good enough. Good enough. I want to begin this new year. I wanted to read a quote from a book by Dallas Willard called Renovation of the Heart. And he's talking about our society, our culture, and what people in our culture see or don't see. And he says this, genuine transformation of the whole person into the goodness and power seen in Jesus and his Abba Father, the only transformation adequate to the human self, remains the necessary goal of human life. But it lies beyond the reach of programs of inner transformation that draw merely on the human spirit, even when the human spirit is itself treated as ultimately divine. The reality of all of this is currently veiled from view by the very low level of spiritual life seen in Christianity as now placed before the general public. That low level explains why there are at present so many psychologies and spiritualities contesting the field, often led or dominated by ex-Christians who have abandoned recognized forms of Christianity as hopeless or even harmful. What he is saying there is that the Christianity that is today, that is offered to our society, there is such a low level of spirituality that he says that many have just, well, bag this, let me develop a psychology or philosophy or something because this does not work. What people are saying is that what you are doing right now does not work. Now, the interesting thing is that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came in this world thinking, this works. What I'm bringing works. Paul prayed that we would understand that, that this is not a philosophy, this is not a religion, this is not a psychology. This is an experience. This is something that should have an impact first in our lives, but in the lives of people around us. I want you to look at the prayer he prays for the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3, but subsequently, this is a prayer for all of us. And this is my prayer for myself and for you for 2019. Verse 14 of Ephesians 3. For this very reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Now listen to this. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul never prayed for something that would not happen. He never prayed for something that was out of the realm of God's doing and His will. Right here, He is praying that your life should be filled with power, that your life should be filled with Christ, the presence of Christ, the person of Christ. That is His prayer. And that He's praying that you, being rooted and grounded in love, because you have understood the love of God, now you can go to depths of understanding that love more than you've ever had before. You know how we do that? When Christ is alive in us, we understand more of the depth of that love. This is a prayer that Paul wants fulfilled in all of us. It's God's will that that be fulfilled in all of us. It is necessary for this world to be able to look to us and see that there is a real Christ. There is someone. Nietzsche, who hated Christianity, very caustic critic of Christianity, proclaimed there was only ever one Christian, and he was crucified. What is really he saying? He's saying, I've never seen anything that guy taught. That's basically what he's saying. I've never seen it. I see people going to church. I see people doing a lot of things, but I see no power. I don't see a presence, a divine presence, where divinity and humanity has merged together. I don't see it. So it's just another philosophy, just another religion, just another way to spend a Sunday morning. Is it any wonder? And you know what? We here have felt that. At times, I felt it. We all have. We all have. And so, my prayer for us for 2019 is that Christ would be formed in us. I'm talking about the divine, the living presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Himself. I'm not talking about you being a better disciple of discipleship. I'm not talking about you ratcheting up your church attendance. All these are good, but none of it's good without Jesus living in us. We spend a lot of our time trying to not do bad things, and I'd like to try to do good things. What if it's not us trying all that anymore? What if it's Christ in us? Then guess what happens? It's no longer, oh my goodness, I just can't do that. I can't. It's Him. Now I have power. Now I have experience. Somebody is in me. And that's what God wants. You know, if I were to invite you over to my house and cook you a big steak. Now, for those of you that are vegetarians here, okay, let's say a big eggplant, all right? Whatever. And I were to do this, and you would sit you down. I would do it because I love you. I care about you. And I want to just do something great for you that is necessary. You need nourishment. You need to eat, all right? So you come over. There's that steak right there. I give you a knife and a fork. And you look at that steak and the nutrition and all that's going to come, and you're not going to be hungry. But instead of taking a knife and fork, what do? You pull out a straw. I brought my own straw. And you start sucking on that straw, you know? And you may get a little bit of juice, a little bit of loose meat every once in a while, but you will not get nourished. You will not get full. You will not enjoy what has been prepared for you. What is it the Dallas Willard is talking about? There are a lot of people that are sitting around the promise, but they've not picked up the knife and fork that God provides to take hold and participate in that promise. They pull out their own straw of their own power, their own dreams, their own goals, and they try and just, come on, God, do your thing. And God's going, what are you doing? Pick up the knife and fork. That's the purpose. I left it there. So for 2019, I want Christ formed in Sheridan to a greater degree than any more. I want it, when you look at me, man, you're reading New Testament, it's like, boy, I see some of Jesus right there. That's what I want more than anything else. I want, when I look at you, the very same thing. I don't want us to be caught up in any of our pettiness and any of our whatever. And right now, if you're thinking, yeah, man, that doesn't describe, I haven't experienced anything. I don't want you to be guilty. What I want you to do is be resolved. I don't want you to miss the meal, the steak. I don't want you to be frustrated with your straw. I want us to do it God's way and let Christ blossom in our hearts. So, Sheridan, how are we going to do that? How are we going to experience the fulfillment of this prayer? I'm sure there are a lot of different ways, but I want to start in Luke chapter 1, and I want us to go there. Luke 1. And starting in verse 1, Luke says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke, a physician, is writing an account. He studied a lot of the accounts. He's talked to a lot of the eyewitnesses. He's experienced things himself. And so he's writing to Theophilus. Now, whether this is an individual or just a pen name for anyone who's a lover of God, that's what Theophilus means. We don't know. But what he's saying is, look, I want you to be certain of what you believe. Luke is writing on the peril of persecution. He's writing. Why? It is important. This is not a new idea. This is not a new philosophy. It's not a treatise. It's not how to be religious. What he's saying is that something happened, even more so, someone happened. And I want you to be sure and certain. So how can we experience Christ? We have to have a deeper understanding of who he is. And so for the first half of this year, we're going to go through the Gospel of Luke to see Christ in the flesh. And then we're going to go into the book of Acts that Luke also wrote under the same conviction, we need this. This happened to see Jesus in the church. And by doing that, we will be praying and opening our hearts. God, through your Spirit, what we read, I pray, is what we reflect, is what we experience. You know, it's amazing when you tell someone, hey, you need to pursue Christ's likeness, they don't understand Jesus. They understand religious things. They don't have a slightest idea about Jesus. How in the world can you become like Christ? How in the world can you say, follow me? Follow me was not about just coming to church. Follow me was everything about our lives, every aspect that comes under that. You see, God loves us. God wants to change us. God wants to empower us. He does not want to just kid around with you. Tell you what, I'm going to, you know, forgive your sins, but good luck. Hope I'll work you, you'll work it out. He has no intention in doing that to us. He wants us to sit down with that steak. Here's the knife. Here's the fork. Now enjoy, my daughter. Enjoy, my son. I've done this for you. And so as we're going through the Gospel of Luke and Acts, I want you to be looking, but more importantly, I want you to do what I'm doing this year. I'm opening my heart wide to this. I want to have a complete do-over in my own soul and my own heart. I don't want to rely, you know, next Sunday will be 45 years ago I was baptized into Christ, next Sunday. That's awesome. That's amazing. That's great. But you know what? There's a danger, isn't there? Just like people that have been married for 45 years, the danger, you know, it's awesome, it's great, but what if they've started taking each other for granted? What if, well, it's not what it used to be? What if all this stuff, because we got used to it? No, it can be just as great as when you first got married, but something's got to go on. You've got to engage. Same thing in our relationship to God. It doesn't matter how long I've been a Christian. What matters now is Christ being formed in me? Am I wide open? So that's what I want us to do. I want that prayer of Paul to come true in every single life here. And I want us to experience him and Christ be formed in us. So, in order for that to happen, there are two questions I want us to answer. I'm just going to put them in front of you, and I want you to go pray about these questions here. Number one, do you believe that Jesus can meet all of your needs? Oh, yeah, because he said, no, don't answer too quick. I want you to look at John, the fourth chapter, John 4. There have been times I found myself reading this passage, glossing over it, because it's kind of like, well, maybe this is something you kind of grow into or something, but he didn't say it to grow into. This is what he said. In John chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and he says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus was talking about the life he comes to bring to each person that comes to him. Question, do I believe that the water he gives me, I will have no thirst? I have no need. You see, oftentimes, getting back a little bit to what Mr. Willard was talking about, people's lives are run and just by unsatisfied needs. That's all it is. They're controlled by unsatisfied needs. You know, I'm lonely. I'm, you know, frustrated. I'm angry. I'm upset. And I need this. I need that. No, what they really need is that Jesus, I believe, can meet all of that. You can be by yourself in the desert and not lonely with him. That's not the way we're created. Obviously, when we are here, we need that connection. But if somehow we were ever just without anybody, we would be okay. We would be fine. He would meet that need. Boy, I wish people would treat me better. I wish people would do this, that, and the other. You know what? They may never do that. But why should that frustrate you? Why do you need them to do? You don't need them. If you come to Christ, you are talking about the God Almighty living within you. There is contentment. We compare ourselves to people. Man, I wish I was better looking. Man, I wish I was taller. Man, I wish I was a better... I wish. What's that need? It's that need for affirmation, that need for significance and importance. If Christ is living in you, it just doesn't matter. If you're good looking, amen. If you're not, hallelujah anyway. If you're smart, amen. If you're not, hallelujah anyway. If you can play the drums like Daniel, amen. If you can't, hallelujah anyway, right? Because if Christ is in you, it doesn't matter. Because the water he gives, the life he gives, takes away thirst. Are we controlled and driven by unsatisfied needs? We need to go back and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you and give myself. Because if I drink from your water, I will never thirst. Do we believe that? That's the first question. The other question is, do we believe that salvation is more than forgiveness of sins? Look over in Galatians, the fourth chapter. Galatians 4. Now, isn't forgiveness of sins the point? Isn't that what we're trying to do? And then doesn't that mean salvation, all of this? Yeah. It's part of it, though. It's like this. If I'm a farmer, I want to grow crops, you know, to feed my family, to survive. So what I do is I go and I plant seeds, right? Okay. I plant seeds, but the seeds need to grow for me to accomplish the whole reason I planted the seed for, right? What if you plant seeds and nothing grows? Then why in the world plant the seed? Something's wrong with that seed, right? Forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins, is the seed. God forgave you, put Himself inside of you, but now sanctification, the rest of your life, is becoming more like Christ. That's the purpose you got forgiven in the first place. Bring you to God, that God would recreate you. God the Creator would create you and be creating you the life you were created to live, the life of Christ. If we are not growing, if we're not the sanctification, and all that means, it's a big word, it just means being set apart from the world and set apart to God. What it means is that I'm growing. I'm becoming. That's the big word, in capital words, I am becoming. You see, that's the crops growing. That's why you plant the seed in the first place. So guys, do I believe that salvation is more than just forgiveness of sins? I'm glad you've been baptized for forgiveness of sins. The Bible tells you to do that. It says to do that after repenting of those sins. I understand, and that's biblical and that's true, and God Almighty gave that to us as a gift. But you know what? There's more to it than that. I was not baptized into Christ to go and live my life the way I want to take my straw and try and glean some things. That's not the whole purpose. The purpose is that I would belong to God and I would become His person. And when you become God's person, you're changing. You're becoming all the time. Two questions. Do I believe that Jesus can meet all my needs? And secondly, do I believe that salvation is more than just forgiveness of sins? You know what? I realize I didn't read that passage in Galatians. Galatians 4, verse 19. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone because I am perplexed about you. The Galatian church was getting misled by false teachers. They were going off of the gospel of Christ. So Paul is writing this letter trying to get them to come back. And he talks about, you know, I'm in the pains of childbirth. Why? Till Christ is formed in you. See, for the Apostle Paul, it wasn't just about baptizing and forgiveness of sins. It was Christ being formed in them. That was the point, and that's the point for us. So, singers, why don't you come and get ready to close us out here. I want to close out where we started, and that's back in Ephesians chapter 3. This year, 2019, let us pray that Christ is formed in us. Let us pray that no matter where we are, no matter what's been our experience, no matter, even if, you know what, I've not done a thing, I've been rebellious, I've been, okay, confess that. But guess what? Today's a new day. And the real issue is, what decision will I make today? And let's pray that, you know what, I want to open my heart, I want this prayer of Paul fulfilled in my life, and I really want to let Christ be formed in me, that He would be glorified. It can be done. It really is easy to be done according to God. Because see, here is the promise. Now to Him who is able. To Him who is able. Not to Sheridan who is able. This is not about me getting more and more really. No. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for just being Your children. Thank You for Your incredible love, the way You value us, regardless of what we've done, where we've been, what's gone on, Your love is deeper than any of that. Thank You for that, Father. We know you've put a feast before us in the Christian life, the life of Christ, that we can experience the power of your Spirit, the presence of your Son in our lives, and be transformed. Thank you for that promise. But Father, I pray that we will take hold of that feast with the ways you've provided us. Please help us to open our hearts to that Christ may be formed in each one of us. Help us to totally trust that he can meet all needs. And that, Father, we are your people to be shaped, to be molded, to grow and become the people of eternity that Jesus died for us to be. We love you so much, Father. We thank you for this time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.